All right, y'all, welcome back to another episode of Technical Knockout, the Hardcore Casual MMA podcast. With us today, we got a very special guest, UFC debutant Connor Matthews, fighting out of the New England Cartel. What's up, Connor? How you doing?
Doing fucking awesome, man. Doing great. How about you?
Good, bro. Happy to have you on, man. I'm really excited. You know, we've been a fan of yours. We saw your fights in the Contender Series, and really happy that you reached out back to us, and happy to have you on the show, dude.
My pleasure, man. Appreciate it. Excited to be here. Finally, all that work paid off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude. I mean, you've been putting in the work for a long time, you know? Going off of your online profiles and stuff, you said that you've been in martial arts since you were like 8 years old. Yeah. What was your start in the game? Like, did you get in it looking for a long-term thing, or was it just for fun at the time?
I was actually probably before that. I started doing martial arts. I probably was competing at 8, but I still started when I was like 4 or 5. But, you know, my brother wanted to do karate when I was a kid. So obviously you want to do everything your big brother does. And that kind of got me into it. But I was more, I loved it more than he did. So anytime that I wasn't playing any of the like other sports like hockey or whatever team sports, I was always doing martial arts. It was just kind of like my passion. And I just kind of kept to it my entire life. In high school, I mostly focused on hockey because that was my original plan, is to play college hockey. You know what I mean? I went to prep school for it. I did all that. Played junior hockey, which is pretty high level hockey. And you know, when that didn't pan out, I stuck to the fighting part of it, I guess. It is. It's the mentality, man. I feel like the hockey players, you know, you go out there and it's like very, like, it's very physical. You know, a very competitive sport that translates great into, like, I learned how to be an athlete from hockey, I think, and I just translated that into martial arts. And,
I tell people that all the time. I was a wrestler. Hussein was a wrestler. But I'm like, dude, if I had lived anywhere where there was, like, hockey, I could have totally seen myself on a pair of skates just, like, going full bore into people. Like, and I started to travel and talk to more hockey players, I'm like, dude, you sound like a wrestler. Like, you know, just with some of the stuff and the physicality, I'm like, damn, I would have loved to put you on a wrestling mat and get off those skates. But
100%. It's actually funny you say that, because last night I went to the Jacob Lacco, who plays for the Boston Bruins, and I'm in Ohio right now, in Columbus, but the Bruins happened to be playing over there, so he hooked me up with some tickets. But he came out to the Cartel and he was practicing with us before the season. He was just coming out there rolling around, you know what I mean? And so it was pretty cool, you know, playing. So when I was out here, I hit him up, got me tickets to the game last night. They ended up losing, unfortunately, but it was still cool. Good event. I think there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of the hockey players and the fighters, there's a lot of, you know, cross respect right there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm sure him training in the Cartel has helped him out on the ice, you know, if things get sticky.
Yeah, he got like the first that like, he came to a practice. It was like preseason when he came in, like the first preseason game after he trained with us. He got in a fight on the ice. It's hilarious. Yeah, test it out.
Yeah, exactly. So you mentioned starting off with like karate and stuff, or when you were 4. I can definitely see that in your style. I didn't know that when I was watching your fights. You know, You know, looking at your record, you've got mostly submissions on your game. So. It's a very well-rounded style. I love that, dude. I'm a huge fan.
I think that's my biggest thing with this fight game is I'm like the jack of all trades. You know what I mean? Like I've spent a lot of different portions of my life where like that was the only place I could train at that given time. You know, like Muay Thai gyms. I only had like a Muay Thai coach for a little while. And then I went to another place and all I had was a jiu-jitsu. So I kind of like, I like focused on specific parts of the game for long periods of time. But when I started training with the New England Cartel, is when I really was able to take all these different skill sets and put it together for MMA. And that changed my whole game, man. Like I've learned everything individually, but couldn't really put it together. Training with Tyson Chartier and the New England Cartel, I figured out how to put it together. But like my base though, if I'm gonna go back to like where I really came from, I'm really a karate style. And then in high school, I developed some boxing. You know, we have a lot of like kickboxing and boxing up in the Northeast. And that's where I kind of developed that style to add on to my karate striking style. And I feel like it's a really good style. I think a lot of guys who are, you know, do really well, like they're diverse in that manner. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, just watching your fights, it's hard to like put a finger on what phase you're most comfortable with because you seem comfortable everywhere. You know, I watched that fight with Farias the other day, and you know, you're using the pressure, using the pace, using the kicks to open it up. And then anytime he let his hands up, you'd take him down, you know? Exactly. So it's really sick, dude. I'm a huge fan. I'm really excited to see where everything goes with your career, because you seem to have that well-rounded game. You have the pace, you have the pressure, you have the finishing ability. So I'm a huge fan, man.
I appreciate it. It took me a little while to kind of develop. Like, I took 6 years off, you know, when I was in the Air Force and the military. So like, it took me a little while to kind of to get that all back together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, so, you know, I think I had a little bit of learning pains coming up, but like, I think I'm starting to get it honed in, and I'm just happy to be where I'm at right now with the guys I'm with. So.
For sure. I'm happy you brought up the time in the Air Force. You've been pretty vocal on your website and on your, you know, on any platform that you have about using martial arts as a healthy outlet for some of the mental struggles that veterans might have, or anybody that's dealing with, you know, aggression or traumatic stress disorders or anything like that. What advice can you give to anybody that might be struggling with anxiety disorders or stress disorders, anything like that?
For me, it's like the biggest thing about any kind of stress, anxiety, a girl broke up with you. Like I said, I use martial arts as like my outlet my entire life. And I think this doesn't have to necessarily be martial arts. I think it's just like people need to find something that they're into. You guys like podcasting, right? You guys like talking, maybe not even training martial arts, but you guys like talking about fights. That's your outlet. That's your place where you can go and you know, follow your passion and see where that goes. And I just feel like, if you're passionate about something, like, it just helps you deal with all the other bullshit that's going on in your life. You got to give yourself something. But if you just kind of just don't let yourself do that, you loop into this like depression. And I was just fortunate enough to have martial arts as a tool I could use to help me get out of some dark places. And it kind of just flourished into what I'm doing right now.
Hell yeah, dude. All the pieces lined up that way. I think it's important to have a creative outlet. And I think martial arts gives you an opportunity to be creative, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, just seeing the way that you know, your style shakes out in there, it looks like you're trying stuff new, you know what I mean, which is awesome. It's definitely a great outlet there.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I think it's like it's just, so for me, like, every single time, I love learning. That's one thing I learned through martial arts, you know what I mean? I love like picking up new things and then being able to apply them. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of guys kind of get stuck in the rut of doing the same thing over and over and over again because they find something they're good at and that's what they stick to. You know what I mean? I really pride myself in the fact of like picking up and acquiring new tools and skills and you know what I mean? Focusing on that instead of just doing one thing the same way every single fight.
I think that's a very healthy attitude to have as a martial artist and as a fighter. You know, I remember in wrestling, like, we'd learn, you know, new techniques on the mat. And then if you get it done in the competition, you feel like the fucking man after that. You know what I mean? You're like, hell yeah, dude, I fucking put it together. Like,
100%. But there's a lot of like patience that comes within the gym. Like, if you learn something, like, hey, I'm going to go for this in the gym. And like, if you get beat while you're, I think that's another thing. Is a lot of guys always try to win in the gym. Yeah, I mean, they're always trying to show, because if you're like, especially you get that label of like being a UFC fighter, no, that's not supposed to let this low, you know, low amateur or whatever it is, not low amateur, but you know, local MMA fighter beat you in the gym. So you got to be able to take that pride and like, you know, fucking swallow that shit and just like let guys beat you because you're trying to work on something. Do you know who the best at this is? Rob Font. Like, I'm with Rob and like, there would be so many days in the gym where like, when I was coming up and I trained with him, I'd be like, oh, I just did fucking really good against Rob Font. Like, I just was crushing him. But Rob wasn't trying to fucking win. He was just, you know what I mean? He's just training, working on specific, something very small and specific. And then when it's time, just when he switches it on and he sees you like 2 weeks out, a week out from a fight, when he really switches it on, it's like there's nothing you can do to stop the guy. So it's like, that's something I picked up with from those guys for sure.
Dude, I do that all the time. So I coach a high school wrestling team and I'm always working on stuff. And like, I think some of my bigger guys, like, they start kind of catching me in these things when I'm trying to work on stuff, trying to figure stuff out, trying to, you know, figure out how I'm going to explain it to them or how to teach this new technique that I learned so I can impart it on them. And then they like start getting success on me and I can see the confidence level get up in them. And then when we go live and I'm trying to like press them or like, not like I said, I'm never really trying to beat them anymore. I'm always trying to teach them, but there's a little bit less that I let them get away with. And I'm like, man, I thought I was closing the gap on you. I'm like, buddy, I'm just trying stuff on here. You know, I'm just working stuff in here. Like it is a whole different, and that's so hard for competitors to do or people that are training to do. You know, just like you said, there's like that ego part of like, you know, you can't let this guy get that one hit, or, you know, if he starts putting up, you start some people start feeling like that's diminishing themselves, but in reality, they might be getting to that level because you're pushing them. And all of a sudden you have a better training partner because of that attitude.
Iron sharpens iron.
It really does, man.
Also with the Newland Cartel now is like, it used to be like very cut off between like Rob, Calvin, you know, Tyson, like they kind of stuck to their own little group. And in the last year we kind of opened up the doors. Like I joined the team and then like now we got like Chris Montino. We got Brendan Marat is an up and comer. He just came up. The room has just grown a lot more fighters in there. And like you see, like everybody's getting better, which is making everybody else better. If that makes sense,
yeah.
It's like a continuous positive thing where everybody's like pushing each other. And you're right, dude. Like I think that's very important to kind of like, and it helps you. Like if I take a guy into my gym and he's struggling, if I help him out and I spend time teaching that guy, it's beneficial for me because I'm learning whatever I am doing better by teaching him, and he's going to get better and give me better work. So it's like, absolute positive thing.
Exactly. Dude, I was talking to my team the other day. I'm like, you know, obviously we all have our individual goals, but I'm like, what are you doing to help your teammate get to his goals? Like, are you being of service to your team? And I'm like, it sounds like, you know, you're putting yourself off, but that's going to help you get closer to your goal and our goal as a team.
100%. And I always say like, a wrestling team or an MMA team is actually the closest knit team, and it's an individual sport.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you need those other people in the gym to basically get beat up, right? If you're getting ready for a fight, so you can go out to the fight and win. And so how selfless is it for that guy, you know what I mean, to let him beat you up? But there's also like the parts like they helped me out for my fight camps, right? And now I got to go back and help them out for their, like, if I'm out of the gym right now, because whatever reason, like, that's not fair to the guy that just helped me for fucking 8 weeks getting ready for my fight. Which that's what pisses me off. Like after my fight, if I'm like hurt or something, I got to kind of stay out of the gym for a little bit, but I'm going crazy because I feel bad. I'm like, dude, Rob's got to fight up. I can't help him out. You know what I mean? It's like, so
I was just watching
good now, but I had to take some time. What's up?
No, I was just watching the interview with Khabib, and he was saying the same thing. He was getting on one of his fighters for, like, missing practice, not showing up. He's like, that dude's about to get ready for a fight, and you're not here. Like, that's – I love that, man.
Yeah, it's a team mentality, man. For anything, really, like, where I've been, like, for the special operations thing and you know what I mean, the military, it's like, you know, I see the value of teamwork in anything. And, like, you mean you can't do it by yourself. So that's what – Cartel was a really good team. You know, they've done good, but now they're making it even better and bigger. You know what I mean? And, like, everywhere, man, like, you need a team to be able to, like, to compete at this level. And I didn't realize that. That's why I really went into that, like, Francis Marshall fight. I was, like, kind of, like, doing what I've always done where I just, you know, train with the boxing coach here, train with a couple guys here, jiu-jitsu. Like, it was not like we're all working together. And, you know, it showed in my fight. you know what I mean? So.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. So your journey to the UFC involved that setback in the first contender series. And we don't often see too many people reprising it and making a second appearance and getting a second shot at that. Can you take us through the emotions and lessons that you learned from that experience, from, you know, having that setback and then, you know, being able to come back and get that call?
Yeah. So like, man, for me, like I've had a lot of setbacks in other portions of my life. You know what I mean? With like the military, you know, I was going through training and you know, you get washed back. So you fail a test and you got to wash back. When you wash back there, it's like real hard. You know what I mean? You have to go through all that hard bullshit again. I did that basically in the two hardest parts of the school. You know what I mean? That really, I had to really dig down deep in myself when those things happened to me. And that's kind of what I did with the Contender Series fight. I fought, but I did feel going into that fight, even though I didn't win, I put as much work as I could to prepare for my Contender Series fight. So I knew I did everything I possibly could do to get ready for that first Contender Series fight, and it just didn't pan out. The things I needed to fix were, you know, like bigger scale things, big picture things, where I'm training, how I'm training, you know, where I'm spending my time. And so, you know, I lost my first fight. And, you know, it sucked, obviously, because you get to the top. We're not the top, but, you know, you get to that point where you've been fighting for your whole life, right? And you fail, and it's like, you know, nothing's promised after that, right? So that was a little bit sad, but I just knew it was just like, hey, man, I'm just going to look at this like I got washed back in the military. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't get it this time. No worries. I'm gonna pass next time. So went back to work, and I, you know, just put the work in and didn't really only thing you can control is what you can control. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't control when if I'm going to be on the Contender Series next year or not. I can't control if Dan, you know, all. But sometimes when you're, you know, you get lucky, right? And not, lucky is not just luck. Lucky is when opportunity meets preparedness. Yeah. And I got lucky, and I got a Dana White looking for a fight. Thanks, I was ready to go. I didn't spend time sulking and whining about not getting my contract or whatever, or fucking giving up. I went back to the gym, grinded, got that. Like, that wasn't supposed to be on that Dana White's looking for a fight. I wasn't supposed to be the guy they were trying to pick up. You know, they were looking at other guys there. They already saw me, like, yeah, he didn't make it, blah, blah, blah. But I just stole the show because I was ready. And then, you know what I mean? So, and that just gave me, he invited me back for the Contender Series. And I just, like, same thing, back to work, man. Again, yeah, they gave me a 10-0 Brazilian who's 6'2". You could just tell the way the commentating, you could tell everybody, they wanted that guy to win. You know what I mean? He's the guy that, he's the striker, like, you know, but, you know, my this thing I say is just, like, be undeniable. Like, you know what I mean? You can't say no to me. And, like, and that's my thing. That's like, I'm just going to, you know.
Well, I mean, speaking of not being able to deny it, that was just my next thing. Like, Dana White expressed the satisfaction saying that, I just don't know how I can deny you. How great did it feel to hear those from Uncle Dana himself after that setback, and then coming into this one short notice, not being the guy that they're, you know, wanting to win, and going on and putting that performance and hearing those words? How awesome was that for you?
It feels amazing. Because it's just like, I was even saying I'm undeniable, like, before, like, the week. That's, like, what I was telling myself. You know what I mean? So it's like the visualization came into reality, and that just right there just boosts me up to understand, like, that's what it takes to be the best. Is belief, hard work. You know, it's not just belief. You can't just believe something and, like, oh, woozy, physical, that shit's going to happen. No, you got to fucking grind in every single day and day out, be disciplined, and make that shit happen. But if you really do believe it and you work your ass off, you know, they literally said, he took the words out of my mouth, and there's no, you know what I mean? I proved to him through physical action, and he said it. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, man, it's unbelievable. It just gives me more confidence to keep climbing this fucking UFC roster. You know what I mean? I just got to believe myself, but I also got to do the hard work. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah. I mean, you've been having great success so far, and to get that that first loss out of the way early, I think might be better. You know what I mean? Because then
100%.
You need that
adversity, man. If you don't get adversity, you know what I mean? That's, it's like, you're not gonna get better. I have a kid coming up in my gym right now. This kid, Joe Poirier, he's 4-0. He was crushing everybody, not finishing guys in the first round. You know what I mean? And he just took his first loss a month ago now, or a couple weeks ago. And I was like, dude, honestly, like, this is exactly when you want that loss. You know, do you want this when you're going into the Contender Series, you know, you're in a little bit? You're like, no, you need this loss now so you can, you know, figure out where you're at, fix the things you need to fix, just like I did with Francis Marshall, and then come back after hungry. So, yeah, he's going to be coming out to Vegas to me next week. We're going to get some training in. We're going to get him back on the horse. But, like, yeah. I think it's just that you just need that adversity sometimes. You know what I mean? It's great being an undefeated guy, and, like, that's all great, but, like, you need that adversity at some point.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm sure you've learned that lesson in the gym multiple times, like how we all have, you know, where you come in thinking, like, yeah, I'm gonna
get all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it works, though. That's how you keep growing. You know what I mean? Especially out of a great gym like the Newland Cartel. You know, I'm sure you're facing a lot of day to day. You know, you win some days, you lose some days. You know what I mean? You can't get too hung up on one or the other. How long have you been with the Cartel, and how did you first get involved? Did you know somebody, or did you just, like, walk in the doors?
So my Muay Thai coach is Jake Manini. He's cornered me. He's been my corner for the last 4 years. Ever since I moved back to Boston, he's been my coach. He's the Muay Thai coach for Calvin and Rob and the Newland Cartel. So for the last, like, when I first moved home, I would spar with them here and there. If they needed to pull me in, you know what I mean? I would help Calvin. I, like, helped out Calvin for the Zabit fight. I helped out Rob for the Jose Aldo fight. I was just, you know, I've been that guy, but they're sparring. But I wasn't necessarily training with them day in and day out. So I always wanted to, though. But they were kind of closed doors, you know what I mean? It was just that was their mentality. Plus, we had that whole COVID thing, where, like, they didn't want to let anybody else in because that could mess up their UFC fight. If they get COVID, it was a big deal. So they were really close-knit with that. And then, you know, fast forward, I was training at Lausanne MMA, and we kind of had, like, this little, like, kind of like a falling out. And I was you know, I had a fight, and after I had my fight, I needed a manager. Joe Lozon used to be my manager, my coach, my boss. So like, and so I needed a manager, and so I signed with Tyson as a manager. Tyson, in a month, got me in like that, my first Contender Series fight. So that was good. I didn't train with them my full first camp going into the Contender Series at all. And then I fought my Contender Series. I lost. But then after that, Tyson was just like, hey, man, like, you know, you want to come up here and train with us? I think I showed a lot of heart and determination and grit that he saw rough, you know, like this guy has potential. And then they started letting me kind of train with him from there. And, you know, the rest is history. So I did basically a year, as a couple months after my first Contender Series fight to now. So it's probably a little over a year now. I've been training with the cartel and it's been awesome, man. It's like, just game changer for me for sure.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, putting all the pieces together like that after, you know, the long career of trying in different disciplines and, you know, bouncing or maybe not bouncing from gym to gym, but, you know, going from coach to coach. It seems like you really found a home here with the cartel. So that's awesome, dude. I'm happy for you. I think you're going to keep growing in the sport. You know,
can you actually allude to how that environment and the New England cartel shaped your fighting style and the mentally that you have presently? Cause you said that, you know, there's a huge jump between when you were training with them and without them. What specific differences do you feel like? Cause you sound like a dude that, you know, is constantly training, but what specific things did they help you to take you to that next level?
So I think it's a combination of a lot of things. All right. So first, Tyson Chartier, he runs practice. I would say like more so like a college wrestling style practice, right? It's very serious. Like you're showing up on time. Like if you're late, you're doing push-ups. You know what I mean? It's like a real fight team kind of mentality in there. The bodies you get. So I feel like when you go to a normal jiu-jitsu gym or a normal wrestling gym, you kind of get like a couple guys are, you know, competitors, right? Or high level guys, but then mostly you're dealing with that general population that kind of can sneak into the gym, right? And they just kind of, there's like, some gyms have that fight team thing, but a lot of gyms don't. Like that, the gyms I was at, I would train with really good jiu-jitsu guys, or maybe one other guy's just a really good wrestler, or one, you know what I mean? There's no, like a whole bunch of MMA fighters in a room training for MMA together. And the way Tyson runs the practice, it's an hour and a half hard practice. And like every single body I get on me is going to be a guy who's like a professional, good MMA fighter. So there's not a lot of like wasted time in the gym. I think that's the number one. It's the mentality. And the mentality, the way we train, the way he coaches us. Like I was like, you know, I feel like if you don't have a guy watching you all the time or like staying on you, you get kind of lazy about like going to your back. And you build up these small little habits that you don't even realize you're building up because you think you're just training. That it's like we don't let that shit happen because that's gonna come pull out in the fight. You know what I mean? And that's what he did. I mean, he just changed the way I was like mentality wise and like small little like errors that I was doing in my game that I changed, and it's been 100% like 180 out my fighting. Never mind the sparring I get with those guys too, a little bit more consistent. All that stuff. And I think training with them, we used to kind of brawl a little bit more when I was like, you know, when I was didn't really wasn't friends with them, and I would go train with them and they'd use me as a sparring partner. It would be more of a fight to get ready for it. Now it's like we're not fighting. We're more like working together to help each other get better when we're in there. We're not trying to knock each other's heads off. You know what I mean? So there's that too as well.
Hell yeah. Yeah, it sounds like they've really helped you put all the pieces together, and the mentality is a huge aspect of that. Looking at your fights, the fights that I've seen so far, it's like no shortage of heart in there. You know what I mean? Through like the second, third round, when you see the other guy get tired, it looks like it motivates you more to keep pushing.
Calvin helped me warm up for my last fight. And I was just like, that's like what he says. Like, he's like, at the end of the day, he's like, you're a dog. We don't want it to be a dog fight ever. You know what I mean? That's not the goal. We want to, you know, pick this guy apart, not get hit as much as possible. But if we need to turn it into a dog fight, it's like, I can bring it into a dog fight. And it happens. Like when you're fighting guys at this level, they're not so easy. I mean, I kicked that guy in the top fucking head hard, like rocked him, and he didn't go anywhere. And I was like, shit, like I've knocked out so many people with that kick. You know what I mean? It's like easy. And like this guy just ate that shit, like no problem. And I was like, so, you know, I know that as you get to the higher levels, you're going to start seeing guys that like, you know, and I think that's another thing. My first martial art, I was just finishing dudes in the first round. Like I said, like no adversity, just 5 minutes, boom, knock that guy down, boom, knock that guy down. Like, and then I tried to hit him. I hit him hard in the beginning of the first round, quite a few times, and he was still there. And then I was like, oh shit, You know what I mean? So I kind of got used to that. Like, you did, these guys don't get knocked out easy.
Dude, I know exactly. Dude, I know exactly. When I'm training in the gym, like, I'm a wrestler. So if someone kicks me hard, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to try to take them down. And then that, I can't see it. But like, if I go up against someone who's like a really good striker and then I go to take them down and they got some pretty good defense and I'm back on my feet, I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah. I think it's a great test that you got that out of the way, like, so to speak. Because like I said, I was looking at all your fights coming up and you were smoking these dudes, like, you know, 50-second knockout, 12-second knockout, like, just going through them.
That was a part of the game that I didn't really enjoy. It's just like, dude, like, I wanted to fight, you know what I mean? I kept on having I would schedule fights. I would do a fight camp, and then like a week out from the fight, a guy would fall out with me, and I have to try to get, they're scrambling to get like five different people, and then I just get like some fucking trash can with like Owen 7 or something like that, like a lot of my fights, and like it sucks. That's how it is on the way up. And then once you start building up and getting a good record, then the good guys don't want to fight you either. I was having a lot of trouble finding fights. It's one of the reasons why I got my contender series, because we were like, dude, he can't get fights. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, we want to see him fight more fights. It's like, we're trying, we can't get him fights. So that's one part of the career. And so I love this now, like, especially the UFC. It's like, you get your fight, you know what the fuck you're training, you're getting another guy. It's just so much easier to train and be professional about everything now when you have that. So
yeah, until you go off on a tear and no middleweights want to fight you.
I appreciate that. It's funny, as you just remind me of Chris Montino. So, you know, he fought Sean O'Malley, and then he had that big fight, whatever. And then, you know, he got a couple losses. He started training with us probably about a year ago as well, maybe a little bit after that. And he's been on a tear his last couple of fights in the local. But that's how it looks like. He's just like that now. He's like calm, collected. You know, he's like not trying to swing for the fences. He's getting his takedowns too. You know what I mean? He looks so much more sharp, and I think it's like, it's definitely what we're doing. We just changed the way we are training. Like, you know what I mean? It's just being a professional, man. I think there's a difference between amateur, and I know you can call like this guy's a 5-0 pro, but you can see when a 5-0 pro goes in there and he starts swinging for the fences, and just like, you can see the excitement of like the adrenaline. It's like, no, dude, that's not how you're supposed to fight. You're supposed to be cool, calm, collected, professional. That's what a killer is. Is making the right decisions in the fire, in the hard parts of the fight, and still looking like he's just calm and relaxed. So yeah, you're right. I think they just developed that in all of our guys with the cartel.
You know, I'm glad to hear that you said that Chris is starting to kind of clean it up a little bit, because him and I, Hoos and I talked extensively about him after that O'Malley fight, and we were very, very high up on him. So I'm glad to see that he's starting to train with some higher level guys.
Oh yeah, dude. His boxing is looking too. First of all, he's the toughest kid in the world. I don't know. Like, obviously, we saw the Sean O'Malley thing. Like, I've been sparring with Chris for a long time.
Yeah,
he's wicked for a 35er. When you actually wrestle with him on the ground, he's super strong. But he just never was taking people down to the ground. Like, if he would have took Sean O'Malley down to the ground in that fight, I literally think he would have had like a good chance to do good work against Sean. You can't let Sean, like, you know, dance around you, like, you know what I mean, like Sterling, right? Like, you can't let him play that game. And Chris was able to get in on him, but he literally, his coach is Brian, well, it used to be Brian Raposo, it was like actually a good friend of mine. He's like, he literally goes in the corner, he's like, hey, Chris, can you take this guy down? He's like, no, I'm swinging, I'm fucking banging. That's what he said to him in the corner. It's like,
he's a young dude,
and that's quite IQ. Like, that's all, like, even though it's like cool and tough to be swinging, it's good for the fans, but it's still like, if you want to get the win, you got to do the right thing to get the fucking win. And I think that, you know, we foster that in our team is like, you know, we're here to fucking win. You know what I mean? Like, we're serious. That's like the mentality. We're serious on fight day. It's not like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like we're just like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, we're ready to, we're going to do whatever it takes to get the job done and win. No extra fucking bullshit. We're not, you know, biting down our mouthpiece and just swinging because that's what the fans like. We're not doing that shit. You know, I mean, if that turns into that, it'll turn into that, but like, that's not what we're doing. We're here to fucking win and do whatever it takes to beat that guy. That's like my fight. Like, you guys never saw me shoot a takedown ever in my fucking career, right? But I knew this guy didn't like going to the ground, so I turned into a wrestler for that fight camp. And I was training, trying to take guys down that were way better wrestlers than that guy. You know what I mean? Guys that had way better wrestling takedown defense, you know. Like, so if I could get those guys down on the ground, I knew I was taking this guy down and down and controlling him. And that's what exactly what I did.
That's what I was going to say earlier when I alluded to, because, you know, like watching that fight, I was like, is he a wrestler? Like, is this a guy a striker or a wrestler? You know what I mean? You can't
tell. Hockey player, bro.
Yeah. Jack of all trades. Hell yeah.
I love what you mentioned about doing whatever it takes. And, you know, it sounds like a very straightforward thing, but, you know, there really is so many different ways to look at that. Like, young Chris thought, you know, I'm going to do whatever it takes to win this fight. And in his mind, that meant, you know, swinging and banging and trying to get that you know, crazy highlight real knockout, but in reality, do whatever it takes, you know, might have meant get this dude down to the ground, implement the places you're strong, you know, so that shows that there's a lot of growth, and I'm sure he's going to benefit from having such high fight IQ fighters around him like yourself and Cater.
I think so. I hope so. I can't wait to see him. Like, I think he's one of those guys that deserves another shot to get back up there. And, you know, he's never going to take the easy road. He's actually young. I mean, he's had a lot of fights, but he's not, you know, he's only 27 or something like that. So he's got some even more time to develop. You know what I mean? And that's what I want to say is, like, about the UFC is, like, once you lose, they don't want you anymore. But, like, there's so much more potential for you to regrow. And, you know what I mean? You see it in other guys back in the day, like Chael Sonnen, right? He, like, was losing, like, 3 fights in a row or something like that. Got cut from the UFC. They came back and then was fighting for a title, like, 5 years later, some shit. Like, there's a lot. You see that a lot in that old school generation of MMA because the game was changing so much that, you know what I mean? Like, they were still on this level. The other people are all at this level. And then they caught back up. You know what I mean? So it's like, I always hope that guys like that, like me, get the second chance to fix themselves and come back. But, you know, it is what it is.
Chael Sonnen's undefeated, by the way.
Yeah,
undefeated, undisputed.
Never took steroid in his life either.
Yeah. the professionalism that you talked about, that you kind of put together from being with the cartel, I think a lot of the guys at that gym exemplify that. You know, Cater, Rob Font, these aren't guys that get on the mic before the fight and are like, oh, I'm going to fucking take this guy. You know what I mean? Like, they don't talk humble, the shit, man. Like that.
They're super humble. You know what I mean? And it's one of those, like, I think they should be way more popular and famous than they are because they're just, like, really humble, good dudes. But nobody, like, you know what I mean? Even though, they should be big names. They are big names, but you know what I'm saying? Like, they're just super nice, super humble guys. So, I like the community that I'm a part of. And, you know, I'm prideful of it for sure. You know what I mean? Especially being from New England.
Yeah, man.
Well, I mean, looking ahead, so what are, you know, obviously everybody who gets in the UFC, their goal is to win the gold. But for the next couple of years on your way up to that, what are some, you know, aspirations, some fights that you'd love to see, you know, like guys that you'd like to see yourself across the cage from?
Like, so I don't want to be one of these guys who just calls people out. Like when they get, it's like you just got to the UFC and you think you're going to call out a top 10 guy and stuff. Like, obviously if I want, that's my goal, right? I wouldn't be here if my goal wasn't to be sitting, be the fucking champ. Like you have to, as I always say, it's like aim small, miss small, right? So if I aim for that number one spot, right, that's where I'm going to get myself up there. But I honestly, so like for me, I want to fight a couple of things I want to check out. I want to fight in Vegas, but I want to fight at the T-Mobile. I already did the Apex thing. I would love to fight at the Vegas T-Mobile Arena. That'd be really cool. I want to fight in Boston in the TD Garden. You know what I mean? That's always been a dream of mine, is to walk out. I wanted to play for the Boston Bruins when I was a kid. You know what I mean? Like I always imagined myself, you know? So I guess it's the second best thing is I can walk out and be a UFC fighter at home, which would be amazing. And, you know, other than that, I wouldn't mind traveling a little bit to go do a fight here and there. You know what I mean? I just experienced that whole life. I mean, you always go to these cool new spots and it's, you know, it's fun to get into other places and, you know, experience like crowds in different countries. Australia would be cool. England would be cool. You know what I mean? I'm all about that. As long as I can get out there early and adjust to wherever I got to go, I would love a cool experience like that. Opponent-wise, I don't give a fuck. I don't really have anybody I don't like. I'm sure I'm going to build up tension as you start, you know, climbing the ranks, and people are going to start reaching out, talking shit, and the more, you know, I expect it. But, you know, I like that how the cartel is they're humble, and, you know, you tell me who you're going to fight, I'm going to show up, and I'm going to give somebody a fucking dogfight. That's our culture. I mean, like,
hell yeah.
Whoever it is, they don't care. You know, you're going to be in there for a fight. There's no fights between ours, New England guys, right? You look at Rob, you look at Calvin, you look at even Chris, right, who fought in the UFC. Nick Fiore fought in the UFC. He had two fights. They weren't the best fights, but they're still dog fights, right? There were 3 minute rounds. We don't get finished easy, and we don't fucking stop coming and trying to win. That's like a culture. Joe Lozon, even, you know what I mean? That's a culture that we have in New England. And I think, and we don't talk shit. We just fucking go out there and just, you know, hard nosed fighters. I want to be that. But I also want to be the champ. I want to bring that title back to Boston. That's my ultimate goal.
Hell yeah, man. And honestly, I think you've got a great chance of doing it. You know, you're young in the game. You've got all the tools that we've talked about. I'm really excited to see how you progress throughout your career. And thank you so much for coming on the show, dude. It's been a pleasure, man.
My fucking pleasure, guys. Thank you so much. That's awesome. Appreciate it. We'll do it again.